Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now let me just continue from where we were last week. What we have been talking about is how to bring to birth the visions of God in your life. And we have established many things. I should just quickly review some of them. We read from Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And God separated the waters, God created the rivers, created everything, created the dry land, and the Bible said that he looked and saw that the thing was good. Well, establish the fact that what it means to say something is good is that it's according to what picture we had in the heart before the thing came out on the surface. And we said that is the order of God. Number one, there is a problem. The earth is without form and it is void and darkness is over everything. But then, next thing the Spirit of God did was to begin to brood, to incubate exactly what he wanted to do. And then having completed that, he now spoke forth. And the thing that he said instantly began to create events on the earth. Are you getting my point? And then I established to us again last time that God created everybody to bring a piece of heaven down to the earth. That is what God created everybody for. You have not been created on earth just to come and see the much of it that you can enjoy, but that even though there is darkness over the surface of the waters, even though you are thrust into the earth that is without form, and it is void, yet the vision inside your heart, which God placed in there because he created you to do something, will be brought forth. Then you will discover order in the place where there was disorder. That is, everything that is orderly in life depends on somebody. Do you get my point? You know, as Nigerians, we believe, people will say that, if you just go, you go to America, hell, the roads are good. You go to London, the roads don't have potholes. You talk about that so much, you talk about it as if it's a spiritual force that just dropped the things. One day, angels just came, took everybody, "Please excuse us, we want to do construction. I want to finish this construction. This road will never spoil." And then the people vacated the land, and the angels began to construct. No, it never happened like that. A friend of mine was going to travel abroad some many years ago, a junior friend, and then we now got talking. So I just asked him simply out of curiosity. I said that, I'm not saying anything about what you want to do. I just want to know, why exactly are you taking the step you're about to take? He looked at me and said, "Sir, I have thought about it, and I realized that in life, I should try my best to get the best I can under every circumstance." I said, "Well, that's where you and I differ." I said, "This is my own belief. This is my own philosophy for life. I should try my best to give the best I can under every circumstance." I said, "Where you are going was created by somebody." I said, "I believe that my purpose in life is to do the best I can to create that kind of situation where I am right now. And personally, this is my own person, one of my assignments is to motivate the people, stir up their hearts so that the visions of God, which God placed in there so that they can create their own portions of heaven on earth, will be done." Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That is, I recognize that, listen, nothing good happens by chance. Good things are created by people, and that's a matter of fact. That's why we're talking about how to create that good thing that is inside your heart, because as a matter of fact, except you are a son of the devil, if you are a son of God, if you are a child of God, God will definitely drop something in your heart that you can do to make your society better, to make your family better, to make your village better, to make even your streets better. You may be in school, make your student association better. There must be something in your heart that you can do. That's a matter of fact. So what we're talking about is what to do to make sure that thing is done. All right? So last week, I closed last week when I began to explain about the matter of first really properly conceiving that vision in your heart. Because God may give you a vision and it's like a vague picture. But listen to this, you cannot have a vision in life until you have identified a problem. It's not possible. Do you understand my point? Listen, it is not possible to have a vision of God when there is no problem to solve. The fact is that this is a principle. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. The earth was without form and void. And then the Spirit of God was brooding off upon the surface of the waters, or hovering over the surface of the waters. Visions are born out of problems. You can have a wild dream as a child like Joseph had. Do you understand my point? But it did not take you anywhere. The thing that really took Joseph into the throne, that brought him into the palace in Egypt, was when he had a vision, a plan of how to solve a problem. We hear it said a lot of times, that it's in darkness that your little light can shine. And that is a matter of fact. And what does darkness mean in reality? That is something is not working properly. That is why no president in any sensible part of the world campaigns, and his campaign is not on how to solve a problem. No, it doesn't happen. There is nobody who wants to take up office, and the campaign is not on how to solve a problem. Even in the same America, Australia, or London, or anywhere in Europe that I want to run to, go and watch when they are campaigning. They will first identify the problems. Now, so you look at it in a place like America right now, they are campaigning for presidency. What I think they are talking about? How do we solve the Iraq problem? They know there is an Iraqi problem. How do we solve the problem of terrorism in the world? How do we solve the problem of global warming? How do we solve the problem of immigration? How do we solve the problem of the weakening dollar? Those are the major issues that Americans are campaigning with now. Look, anytime you want to, that is always the thing, because that's what actually gives life meaning. This is a principle. There is darkness, and then you incubate a problem. I started this by trying to explain something here, that you really cannot have a proper vision until you want to solve something that nobody has really solved before you. Are you getting what the point I'm trying to make here? And that's a fact. So, in life, when you've had that vision, that's what a vision of God really is. Something to solve a problem. I said, first, it must be fully birthed in you. What do I mean by that? You will sit down and brood about it. What exactly will I do if given the opportunity? I stopped last week by explaining something that every time you have a good solution in your heart, or you think about something all the time, eventually the opportunity will be created for you to perform that thing that you have thought about. Now, if you read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15, you will see that thing explained there. It said, and it was talking about the people of faith who were moving from one country to the other according to the promise of God, looking for God's appointed place for them. He said in verse 15, he said, and indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. Now, and I said, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What was he saying? That because they are looking for that which God has prepared for them, eventually the opportunity also will be created for them to step into it. That is, anything you are thinking about all the time in life, eventually opportunities are created for you to step into it. So number one thing to do actually is to sit down and properly plot what you want to do. Now, this is interesting about God. He will always go beyond that which you have already plotted. Now, this thing that I'm explaining is very real, is very practical. A friend told me something once. He went for an interview. Now, listen to this. Many of you are looking for jobs. This is how you will get them. Not only jobs as an employment, but jobs as a contract, as maybe as a consultant and stuff like that. He went to apply for a job or something like a consultant, all right, in a particular field. He said when he went in, during the interview, or like an impromptu interview, they asked him simply, what will you do about this particular situation? The man smiled to himself. He brought out his computer, all right, because he had already planned something that if such a situation were to come up, this is exactly what I would do. So he began to show the man interviewing him, all right, what he would do if he was given that opportunity. Now, not only just showing the man, but showing to the man that I have thought about this thing before you even called me for this interview. Listen to me. There and then, the man told him that, well, why are we still looking for who to employ? Obviously, we have found our man. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, because he had thought about something, eventually, opportunities were created for him to do it. This very famous Christian musician, Ron Kenoly. Ron Kenoly once came to preach in Nigeria, and I was present where he was talking. And he described how he became very famous as Ron Kenoly. Now, I'll summarize the story. Now, for many years, after he became a Christian, he was looking for the opportunity to sing Christian music. He did his demos, did everything, tried to get the opportunity for him to be able to sing music and bless the body of Christ. But he never found any. He said one day he just got tired absolutely and said, okay, God, if nobody will listen to me, then I'll play for you alone. He said he went into his church that day and he played for God, sang, played on the keyboard, and after a very long time of worshiping, he forgot the whole idea. And then he stopped, get my point, he stopped trying to contact people to help him, you know, recording companies to sign him up with a recording deal. But he continued his job. What was his job? He was a music pastor in a church. And he said one day, one of the directors of Hosanna Music, Integrity Music, came in, I think either Domwell or Michael Coleman, and then they heard him sing. Are you getting the point? They heard him direct the choir. They heard him lead praise and worship in that church that day, one of them. And then he went up, walked up to him the day after the service. He said, please, So this is my name. I'm one of the executives of Hosanna Music. I wanted to pray about recording an album with us. He said that was one thing I did not have to pray about. Are you getting my point? The reason being that I had prayed about it before now, he was saying in effect. I have thought about it before now. Before they came, I had my songs written. That kind of person, he said, well, when I was doing the first album, he would just produce all the songs that he had written. Immediately, he starts discussing with them. They start rehearsing. And shortly after that, he released Jesus Is Alive. The second album he released, which was Lift Him Up, became the best-selling at that time praise and worship music ever produced on the surface of the earth. How did that come to be? You know, a lot of us want to connect. Listen, connections actually are spiritual. Let me say that again. In life, the real connections are spiritual. In the realm of the spirit, when you are ready for something, your spiritual tentacles, your spiritual signals are up, and people are picking those things. They may not know, but I said something earlier, last week and the week before, that when God spoke, when he said, let there be, actually what he was doing was to release the spiritual energy that he had generated in his heart by virtue of the vision that he had created concerning the earth. Are you getting the point I'm making here? So in life, this is how it works. If you sit down and brood over something, now listen, you sit down and you're thinking about something, what you are doing is a spiritual principle, is that you are generating spiritual forces inside your heart, and they are actually radiating out, and they are going out to create the opportunity for you to effect that thing. What is number one step you take? Really receive that vision in your heart. Make sure inside your heart, the vision is properly there. Please, I hope you understand that point. That's what I call the power of focus. The problem with a lot of us in life is that we don't really do anything with commitment. You see somebody today, it is pure water that is selling, starts a pure water company. Tomorrow they say that, no, it's recharge card that is selling, starts a recharge card business. And in the very following day, they say, no, that's not what is really moving right now. What is moving is that people are now selling blocks. We say, what kind of blocks? They say, cement blocks. I say, okay, let's start making blocks. You start jumping from one thing to the other. Listen, if you are in a particular situation in life, maybe as a young student, and you're looking for something, anything to get you money, well, that is pardonable. But as you begin to grow in life, you must detach yourself from such activities. Are you getting my point? And settle down that what exactly do I want to do? And begin to meditate and incubate that thing in your heart. And then eventually in life, you will find out that and the opportunity will be created for you to perform it. Now, so having explained that thing, the next thing I just want to quickly explain to us is how exactly do you develop that vision? You know, it's interesting. I said, number one, you must properly develop a vision in your heart. Are you getting the point? Then the next point I want to make is that how exactly do you do it? It's not just by sitting down and dreaming wild dreams. Let me explain something to you. It is possible to conceive something, all right? And then at the end of the day, you find out that what you have actually conceived, you give birth to it, and it is wind. Because this thing is very important. It's not just about sitting down and conceiving something. That is just a wild imagination, a wild dream. Because it is possible to conceive something, and that thing is actually nothing. If you read from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 18, he said, we were pregnant, we rested in labor. He said, we gave birth, it seems, only to wind. We could not accomplish deliverance for the earth. Are you getting my point? Nor were inhabitants of the world born. This is the point I'm making here. These people thought they had conceived something. Are you getting my point? I remember those days when I was in the, I did my youth service in the military. There was a particular military officer I noted then. Now, because then, the military was ruling in Nigeria. He had dreams and visions. Listen. Of how he will enter into prominence in governance through the military. And then we'll be in the military barracks, and that's why I did my youth service. I remember then, when they were doing send-off for us, I remember what he said. He introduced himself. He said, we should watch out for him. Are you getting my point? We knew what he was talking about. He said, we should watch out for him. That I knew what he was talking about. He was planning to move up in life, all right, to the ranks of the military, and then eventually become a ruler in Nigeria. And I looked at the man, I told myself that this man doesn't understand that seasons change. Are you getting my point? And now the season has changed. I don't know whether he still has that vision. Then he was a young man. It is possible for somebody to be having visions concerning things that are about to pass away. Are you getting my point? No, that is true. Because the Bible now says that you will give birth and you will discover that you have only given birth to wind. That the thing you have given birth to cannot accomplish deliverance for the earth. That point is very important. Now, so how then do you actually receive the vision of God properly in your heart? That is an important issue. Number one, don't ever forget this. I said this thing to us about 2 weeks ago. I said, I will never preach to make it appear as if I'm teaching you principles of life that can work outside the power of God. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are what? Mighty through God. The number one thing you need to do to have the vision properly birthed in your heart is talk to the Lord about it. There is no substitute, listen to me, for praying about anything you want to dream about. There is no substitute for praying about any idea that comes to your heart. You must first of all, first and foremost, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you go to Proverbs chapter 3, from verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." It said, "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Then in verse 7, it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." It said, "It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." Now, this is the point I want you to understand there. No matter what the plan is in your heart, no matter what the visions are that you are beginning to have, the first thing you must do is to sanctify that thing. Now, what does sanctification mean? Sanctification means to take it to the Lord in prayer and commit it to God and say, "Lord, if this is the vision that you have for me to affect my society, then bless it and cause it to increase in my heart. That, Lord, if there is any idea inside here that is primarily for my own benefit, that is primarily for my own glory, then remove it and give me your own idea alone that will do your purpose on the earth." Listen, there is no substitute for doing that on this earth. There is none. The problem we have a lot of times is that we think that we can do things without God. Let me explain this to us again. There were two people in the Bible, Esau and Jacob, that God put side by side for us to understand how a man can be blessed in life. Esau was a very hard-working man who felt he did not need God. The Bible calls him, in the book of Hebrews, it called him a profane or a godless man. Esau felt he could do things by being smart. Esau felt that if he planned well enough, he would succeed in life. But Jacob was the exact opposite. He did not have a lot of plans. He did not have a lot of connections. Because connection in that particular situation is implied by whether you are firstborn or you were not firstborn. He didn't have it. But he was somebody who understood that if God doesn't bless me, I can never be blessed in life. You understand the point I'm making there? So Jacob, his heart always reached out for the blessing of God. And if you want to be blessed in life, if you want to have visions really that will produce something tangible on the earth. Like we read just now from the book of Isaiah chapter 26. He said that we gave birth and it seems only to wind. We could not accomplish deliverance for the earth. That is, if you are planning something, it is possible you plan something that cannot achieve anything for anybody on the earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But if you're not going to fall into that trap, Solomon tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, he said, number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. He said, in all your ways, you must acknowledge God and that way he will direct your path. All right? He will make your path straight. He will lead you in the thing to think about. Now, you know, I have studied a lot of great men. I have found out that there is no shortcut, sure way in human planning to great success, to great wealth. And actually, that is what the Bible calls time and chance happening to all men. I'm going to come back to that again. Because you see, when the vision of God has been birthed in your heart, and like I explained earlier, and the spiritual forces are being released by the power of your words and the power of your actions, eventually, time and chance will begin to arrange events so as to give you the opportunity to produce that thing. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? And that was why Jacob had no choice. I mean, eventually he had to get the best right from Esau. Esau had to lose it to Jacob. Because Jacob knew in his heart, I need the blessing of God. And Esau felt in his heart that he didn't need that thing, that blessing from God. That way, eventually the events of life cooperated to hand over the best right to him. I hope you get the point I'm trying to make. So I'm explaining what exactly do you do to make the vision of God very solidly birthed first in your heart. We said first thing you must do is to approach God in prayer about the thing. Number two thing that you do about it, because you see, this is how the Spirit of God works. It begins to give you information. Are you getting what I'm saying? It begins to enlighten your heart. Suddenly, something that appears so strong to you, maybe you wanted to invest in stocks, and then you had all your ideas on how to make 5 million naira over the next 2 years in the stock market. And then you go to God and you pray. And then God, all your plans, as soon as you finish praying, you look at those plans again, and suddenly they stop making so much sense. You felt that, oh, if you buy this one here, you do this one, this will increase, and then you reinvest here. Suddenly, the thing stops making sense. After some time, you drop the idea, and you go on to another idea. That's how the Spirit of God works. Are you getting my point? Listen, don't run off with any idea, no matter how beautiful it looks, until you have settled down one night and prayed about it before God. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, you have already committed that thing to God. I remember something I said that's a while ago about Ron Kenoly. Ron Kenoly said he had written to every Christian recording company he knew that he had the potential of being received by. None of them agreed to receive him. None of them agreed to sign a recording deal with him. Then one day, he went and said, God, all right. He said, I will sing and I will play music for you and you alone. Since nobody wants to hear me, then you who gave me the gift must hear me by force. He said, and I promise that after now, I am not going to write anybody again. I will not try to sing for anybody again. I'll just get back to my normal job as a music pastor in that particular church. So he finished, he did that, and he went back to his business. And then God now took over the event and then created the opportunity for him to become an internationally renowned Christian musician. You get the point I'm trying to make here? All I'm trying to establish, you must never run with a vision just because it appears good to you. You must never run with a vision just because it appears like it to make something great out of you suddenly. Because the Bible says it is possible to conceive a thing. Then finally, when you deliver it, you find out that you have given birth only to wind, and that thing could not achieve deliverance for the earth. Are you getting my point? Now, so having explained that, the next thing you do, having prayed to God and the vision remains solidly in your heart, next thing you do is that you start asking questions, you start learning, you start reading, you start watching what other people have done before that in that area. Now, this thing I'm saying is very important. Please don't forget this. You must prepare your heart before God gives you the opportunity. Are you getting the point? That's why we're talking about these things. You know, people are talking about, you hear this a lot, at least in our country right now. They say, it's only the old men that are ruling. They're not giving us, the young people, the opportunity to rule. Now, listen to me. Nobody will get up and say, please, let us give this person the opportunity. That principle in life doesn't make sense. Don't ever wait for it. Are you getting my point? I remember once I was talking with a young woman. I said that, look, I'm going for a convention. I think it was during one of the breaks. I said, we're having this program. Why don't you come in and come and hear that the man preaching is preaching very powerfully. I said, the man preached last year in this same convention, and it was so powerful, and it's coming again this year. I think you should make time out and come there and get blessed. She now said, you people serve. Why didn't you give another person an opportunity? I said, opportunity to do what? To come and waste my time? Opportunity to do what? You know, like this man has preached before. Give another person the opportunity to preach. I said, there is nothing like that. There is nothing like that. We have gathered from different places to come and be blessed. We are not going to sit down and allow somebody else use us as an experiment. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm trying to bring out something here. A lot of people in life, that's what they do. They give other people an opportunity. There is nothing like that in life. Nothing. You must create your own opportunities from inside your heart. Are you getting my point? The only person who will give you the opportunity is God. It is God that will, by the events of life, open a door for you. And this is the interesting part. He first opens small doors. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Listen, this is what I'm trying to say. The old people will not just wake up and say, young people, this is the opportunity. Listen, what will happen is that when a young man has shown himself diligent, the Bible says that seest thou a man who is skillful in his work, he said he will stand before kings, he will not stand before obscure men. Are you getting my point? Listen, this is what gives you as a young person the opportunity. One day the old people will be confounded. They will look for what to do, they will not know how to do it. Now they will try to solve a problem, they will not be able to solve it. All right? Then somebody will tell them that we saw one young man who can do this thing. Then that's how your opportunities are created. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Listen, the only way you create opportunities for yourself is to be prepared when the opportunity comes. And you know the interesting part? Anyone who is prepared, you'll be amazed at the amount of opportunities that come out towards you every day. Are you getting the point I'm making? I like one thing that one great man of God, Kenneth Hagin, used to say. He said that as a young man, where did I start preaching? I started preaching in prison. He said, I wasn't in prison. It just that was one day the church he was attending, the young people said that they want to do an outreach in a prison. Who can preach? So I just put up his hand and said, I will go there and go and preach. Let me use myself as an example. The first time I preached anywhere in this my life was at a small birthday party in a room on campus. A friend of mine, it was her birthday, and then I said, hey, who will preach during, it was a Christian birthday, so he said, who will preach during this birthday? He said, ah, let us call Banky. And for me, it was, I mean, like, it was breakthrough. That somebody even called to come and preach at all. Are you following my point? And this is a beautiful thing. I still remember the message very well, you know. So it was at the birthday party, and today I still remember the message I preached. All right? I remember. Of course, now, the message I preached that day, I had it in my heart before I was given the opportunity. So as soon as they said, okay, come and preach, I knew what to say. I gladly accepted. I went in there. I was on fire with the little that I knew. Are you getting the point I'm making here? And that's the way it works. Nobody is going to gather together and say, create an opportunity for young people. There is nothing like that. If you do your thing properly, because you see, again as a preacher, if nobody will listen to you, preach to your brother, preach to your sister. It's very simple. You will have a friend who cannot tell you no. Force the person to sit down and hear, no, it's true. I'm telling you. You are getting the point I'm making. Stop waiting for somebody, I mean, somewhere. If I'm using myself as an example again, when I entered Enugu, I didn't come to Enugu and say, okay, yes, I'm a preacher, I have come to town. No. What are preachers meant to do? They are meant to preach, right? Now, you don't have to give me an opportunity, but you are getting the point I'm making. You are understanding the point I'm making there. So, you see, the point is that, you see, I didn't need anybody's opportunity to say, please come and preach. I printed my messages on tracts, and the thing circulated. Many places where people now ask me to please come and preach, it was because they read the tract and they found out who it was that wrote these messages on these tracts. And they said, please, sir, can you come and preach for us here? And then when they heard me, they said, ah, please, can you come back again? Are you getting the point I'm making? That is the opportunity. Not as you're waiting, you go around and say, please, so I can preach. Or please invite me to come and preach. Nobody will create opportunities for you. It lies between you and your God. You are getting the point I'm making? And what you need to do is to, first of all right, make sure what you will say, if you're a preacher, is birthed in your heart. You don't go somewhere and there is no message in your heart for the people and you think they want to hear you next time. No, come on. You are getting what I'm saying. So in every field of life, that's why they take you through school. They make you do training, practice. Because before the opportunities begin to open, you must have something that you want to deliver to the people. You must have. You must have. So I was talking about...
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.